And God created Nora Barnacle. I think for Gen Y, sex is more relational, knowledgeable, and not so frequent because not so compulsive, as compulsion, I suspect, runs on stereotypes and Gen Y switches and transforms those. That is what their skill is in wry tones and rueful. So what is useful in me discussing sex last century, except that I have been thinking about sexual feminism and poverty, that there is the transformational in that. Months ago, when I chose a Moriarty writing my last novel, I thought he could look like Kurd Jurgens in And God Created Woman, remembering vaguely in him the complex, corrupt, powerful. Then last week, I actually watched the movie again. The Jurgens thing was right, but naturally the film's focus was on Brigitte Bardot acting out the sexual. This was the performance Beauvoir considered liberation for then modern 50s women. Brigitte is from an institution for orphans, revels in her own nudity, is seen under a clothesline, legs and bottom sunlight smooth beneath boredom's bourgeois washing. She is not a virgin. Jurgens pursues her, but he is too corrupt, too experienced, too rich for her taste. She falls in love with a low pecking order boy, weds him in bourgeois lace like white tides around them, but has to work through a compulsion for his businessman brother, while Jurgens explains one day he himself may have her, when she learns to want money, sees her as a femme fatale. She isn't, but he may have a taste for the fatal, thinking at the end that he escapes her, or stereotyping all and hiding a bullet so that her husband won't be arrested. At the end, she has danced like a grief-frenzied priestess with a Latin band, been hit by the husband, which seems to please her, either because it means he won't shoot her or because she wants him braver, like her, or her nerve tips crave for the dramatic. They do end up together, going back into the house quite gently, bad news for his mother, and we remember most perhaps that she usually had her shoes off, that she walked on her soft foot soles as rhythmically as Marilyn Monroe on stilettos, acting sensuality as real as the downy animals she harbours, for the bunny is silly, trusting and hungry, not playboy. We remember also her disinterest in money, luxury and travel. That is probably what shocked the French, who could cope with Proust's Odette or Colette's whores. And maybe it is what most pleasured Beauvoir. There is so much power in those natural material rejections. In the same way, I was thinking about Joyce's wife, Nora Barnacle, from whose letters he borrowed Molly's monologue in Ulysses. Nora was born in the Galway workhouse and probably when she met Joyce was on streets as well as scullery, in the wistfully equal Dublin alleys, sensually brave, but had unusual looks, not Irish big-eyed waif, but a narrow gaze iridescently irresistible, and a taste for everything he didn't. He knew it was inevitable. But what I'm thinking about is one small scene. They were living in Europe, pursuing his design for silence, exile and cunning, but his work demanded he attend some high occasion. They could only scrounge money for his formal clothes, but she came anyway and watched from the crowd to see Jimmy with the fine gentlemen and ladies. He lived her sexually, but she lived his status. But she would perhaps have preferred he be a singer. He'd almost won a contest with McCormick. There must have been a pure sore in his singing, as sexual as selfless watching. The words he wrote maybe seemed to her too much like her own music. He rippled with her skin and childhood mornings. He was the snow that fell on her lost lovers. But his voice could break her from another room. I think for Gen Y, sex is not about acquisition. Joyce is part of the decor, not a puzzle or a scandal. They are wary about process and position, and if one understood Nora's poorness, they would listen.